Dearly beloved in Christ, today's sermon will be about martyrdom, the virtues of the martyrs, and how we too can be martyrs figuratively. This idea for the topic was sparked by one saint in particular, one I know we've all heard of, a saint who was and still is very popular and whose feast day we are about to celebrate, the Feast of St. Agnes. St. Agnes, a special patroness of purity, is one of the few martyrs whose name is in the canon of the Mass. That alone tells us the Church wished to honor her in a special way, and in turn to have us honor her and call upon her intercession. In the pictures or paintings of St. Agnes, she is commonly represented with a lamb and a palm. She suffered under Diocletian in the year 303, and after valiantly resisting the wiles of her persecutors, was martyred at the age of 13 in Rome. So I wanted to talk about the martyrs because of St. Agnes' upcoming feast and because of the general importance of awakening and or keeping alive within us the desire to sanctify ourselves. I will be quoting from St. Alphonsus's work entitled The Victories of the Martyrs, and if you haven't yet read it, I highly recommend it. Especially, it would be fitting during the upcoming Lenten season. First off, St. Alphonsus in the introduction says that the most important lesson which we learn from the martyrs is the necessity of the love of God. He who loves not abides in death. We cannot show our love for God so well by however many actions we may do for his glory as by a willingness to suffer for his sake. That is, suffering, or at least being willing to suffer for love of God, is the lesson that we must take away from these accounts. The introduction to the Victories of the Martyrs is quite lengthy, and I probably skipped over reading it the first time, but having looked back over it, the introduction is a powerhouse of inspiration and information given to us in 7 points. And for this, for purposes of time, I had to cut them short, but again, I encourage you to read it in its entirety. In point one, by the martyrs beholding the utter contempt in which they held the world and all the allurements of its pompous vanities, we are taught to despise the fleeting and unsubstantial pleasures which it offers its deluded followers. Many of them, being put to torture, had been offered by the tyrants immense rewards, posts of honor, noble marriages, to induce them to abandon the faith. And yet, they not only refused them, but willingly renounced the other riches and honors which they already held, and offered themselves up to tortures the most excruciating and deaths the most ignominious, in order not to lose those heavenly graces which God fails not to impart to the servants of the Lord. Point two, from the example of the martyrs, we learn also to practice our confidence only in God, and to become daily more in love with the excellence of our faith, since in their constancy we cannot help admiring the wonderful power of God, which enabled them to encounter torments and death with heroic fortitude and ecstatic joy. For without the interposition of the most powerful assistance from heaven, how could the delicate constitution of nervous persons, the tottering decrepitude of age, the timorous disposition of tender virgins, the recklessness of adolescent manhood, or the inconsideration of boyhood years be equal to tortures, the bare recital of which fills us with horror? Point three, from the patience with which the martyrs showed during their tortures, we should learn to suffer with holy resignation the crosses and afflictions of this life, poverty, sickness, persecution, contumely, injustice, and all other evils are but trifling when compared with their sufferings. The reflection that it was the will of God that they should suffer for his love was their only solace. We also, in our tribulations, should remember the necessity of resignation to the divine will, and calling to mind the more grievous sufferings of the martyrs, should blush to complain. St. Vincent de Paul used to say, conformity to the divine will is a sovereign remedy for all evils. And in point four, the examples of the martyrs teach us also to have immediate recourse to the assistance of God. By earnest prayer, when we feel ourselves disconsolate or weak under affliction, thus did the holy martyrs. As their torture increased, they multiplied their prayers and secured the victory. Saint Theodore, after a long endurance of his tortures, being stretched upon burning tiles and feeling the pain penetrating to his very heart, he besought the Lord to mitigate the torture, and thus he persevered to the end. There have, on the contrary, been examples of Christians who, failing to invoke the assistance of the Almighty, have fallen off from the confession of the faith and forfeited the glorious crown. An example is found in the Acts of the Martyrs of Japan. An aged man, having been condemned to a protracted martyrdom, endured the torture for a considerable time, but failing to invoke heavenly aid, he denied his faith a few moments before he expired. A startling warning to all that perseverance in prayer in time of temptation and distress is that which alone can ensure us the victory. And point five, but the most important lesson which we learn from the martyrs is the necessity of the love of God. He who loves not abides in death. We cannot manifest our love of God so well by a multitude of actions performed for his glory as by a willingness to suffer for his sake. Saint Gordianus replied to the tyrant who threatened to put him to death, "If he did not deny the name of Jesus, you threaten death. But my greatest regret is that I can only die once for Jesus Christ." In point six, I add that death, which is the tribute that everyone must pay, is the greatest of all our tribulations, and that makes not only sinners, but the just tremble. Our Savior himself, as man, wished to show the fear that he felt in the face of death, so that he began to pray to his Father to free him from it. But at the same time, he teaches us to accept death according to the good pleasure of God by saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." This is how we acquire the glory of martyrdom. It is by accepting death to please God and to conform to his will. For as we have remarked above with St. Augustine, not the pain, but the cause of death, or the end for which one submits to it, is how martyrs are made. In point seven, finally, we should be moved to recommend ourselves every day with great confidence to the intercession of the holy martyrs, whose prayers are most efficacious with God. When we suffer some grievous pain, or when we desire a special favor, let us make a novena or a triduum in honor of the holy martyrs, and we shall easily obtain the grace. Let us not fail to honor them, says St. Ambrose, for they are our princes in the faith and our powerful intercessors. If the Lord promises a reward to him who gives a drink of water to a poor man, what will he not do for those who sacrifice their lives in the midst of torments? Let us remember that the martyrs, before being put to death, without doubt, prepared themselves many times for the many tortures and for death, so that when they closed their earthly career, they died with the merit not only of one martyrdom, but with the merit of all those martyrdoms that they had already accepted and offered sincerely to God. Hence we may imagine with what abundance of merits they entered heaven, and how powerful is their intercession with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.